This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening, everyone. It's good to be back with you. There is an emerging new flashpoint in the rekindled battle over gun control. It's the cash register. Gun control advocates are suddenly finding some powerful allies. Big companies and brands you likely know that are cutting their ties with the NRA in response to the Parkland, Florida shooting attack. The boycott NRA movement is generating its own heat tonight on both sides of the debate. Our business correspondent, Jolene Kent, tells us more.
With Hertz Ultimate Choice.
Tonight, America's biggest car rental companies splitting with the NRA. Hertz, Avis, and Enterprise saying they'll no longer offer discounts to members of the National Rifle Association. Adding to a growing list of companies from MetLife to Best Western to Chubb Insurance, all discontinuing deals for NRA members. The calls for a boycott growing on social media with the hashtag #BoycottNRA. Parkland shooting survivor David Hogg also applying pressure, in particular to FedEx, which has a discount for NRA members. No comment today from the shipping giant.
The most powerful consumer, or the most influential consumer, is an 18-year-old. Their mothers wear what they wear, and they have an entire lifetime of consumer disposable income ahead of them.
And in the heartland, the largest privately held bank in America, First National Bank of Omaha, no longer issuing a NRA credit card that helps fund the group's programs. The reason? Customer feedback.
The NRA, which has 5 million members, did not respond to requests for comment. And now some gun rights supporters say they'll counter boycott the companies who are cutting ties with the NRA.
In Nebraska alone, I mean, we're a very red state, and come out and say you're just going to drop the NRA when most of us are members. That's taking a pretty big gamble.
CNBC anchor and New York Times columnist Andrew Ross Sorkin suggests credit card companies and banks could limit gun sales by no longer processing those payments.
And if business goes first and is successful, I could see others in Washington, including President Trump, following that lead.
As businesses hear from customers and follow the money. Jolene Kent, NBC News.
And the gun issue front and center for President Trump today, giving more details about his proposal to arm certain teachers. He made the remarks during a major gathering of conservatives outside the nation's capital. We get the latest from NBC chief White House correspondent Hallie Jackson.
This afternoon, I'm pleased to announce...
For a third straight day, a public presidential push in the gun debate.
We have to have offensive capability to take these people out rapidly before they can do this kind of damage.
President Trump repeating his call to allow some properly trained teachers to carry a concealed weapon and denouncing the armed deputy who police say did nothing during the Parkland school shooting.
Somebody was outside, they're trained, they didn't react properly under pressure or they were cowards.
At a conservative conference today, the president arguing an armed educator might have made a difference.
The teacher would have shot the hell out of him before he knew what happened.
But in front of that friendly crowd, no mention of a different proposal he backs and one the NRA opposes, raising the age limit to buy an AR-15 from 18 to 21. Instead, the president aligning himself with the gun rights group's alarmist rhetoric about Democrats.
They'll take away your Second Amendment. Remember that.
No sitting Democrat has called for that, but some do want a ban on semi-automatic weapons. So does at least one Republican, Florida Congressman Brian Mast, who used to serve in the military.
I spent my life trying to defend this country, and I can't stand to see the weapon that I carried in defense of this country used to kill kids and used to kill others.
The White House has said the president would not support that kind of a ban right now, but he does back a different proposal, one for stronger background checks. It's something Congress could consider once the Senate gets back to town next week. The president telling us today he's spoken with Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell about all of this. Lester.
Hallie Jackson at the White House tonight. Thank you. There are more instances this evening of law enforcement's failure to act against the suspected school gunman in Florida. Eyewitnesses are giving new details about that school officer who was armed but did not go inside the building when the bullets started flying. And late details about another warning overlooked by the FBI. NBC's Kerry Sanders has details.
The Broward sheriff says the protocol is clear. Armed Deputy Scott Peterson, seen here at a school board meeting in 2015, should have hunted down confessed gunman Nicholas Cruz. Instead, detectives say videos show Peterson stayed just outside the freshman building where Cruz was shooting.
And he never went in.
Brandon Huff, a senior, says he saw the unarmed athletic director and football coach rush in.
And they were running in there, shielding kids from bullets. The only armed, protected person on campus was just standing there.
And tonight, new details on that missed warning call to the FBI. A transcript shows that Cruz's close friend told agents she feared he's going to explode and that he would be getting into a school and just shooting the place up. But the transcript shows the caller did not say where and when. This as teachers return to school today.
We're trying to put a broken egg back together. No.
And can you?
Yes, I think we can. We're a strong school. We're a strong community.
And they were able to shelter in place.
But the emotional wounds here run deep. Jeff Heinrich, an off-duty police officer, was volunteering at the school as a parent when the gunman opened fire. On the other side of campus, his son, a student, and his wife, an athletic director.
After that, I called my wife. Thank you. And luckily, I was able to get a hold of her. By the grace of God, when they walked down the hallway, they found each other.
When the students return to Marjory Stoneman Douglas here in Parkland next week, the campus grounds will be patrolled by more than one deputy, and they'll each be carrying an AR-15. That's the same type of weapon the accused gunman used to kill 17 people. Lester?
All right, Kerry Sanders in Florida tonight. Thank you. There was a scare at the White House this afternoon after a vehicle rammed into a security barrier. The White House was put on lockdown. The woman driving the white van was immediately arrested, and law enforcement officials tell NBC News she was known to the Secret Service because she had been around the White House before. The president was inside meeting with the Australian Prime Minister at the time. There were no injuries. Now to a major development in Robert Mueller's Russia probe. A former top Trump campaign official, Rick Gates, pleaded guilty today to conspiracy and lying to investigators. Gates is now the third Trump associate to strike a deal to cooperate with Mueller. His plea puts new pressure on the former Trump campaign chief, Paul Manafort. Today, new fraud charges were revealed against Manafort, who maintains his innocence. Tonight, news from the CDC on the nation's flu emergency. 13 more children have died, bringing the toll from this outbreak to 97. But there's some good news this evening. This flu season may have finally peaked. NBC News medical correspondent Dr. John Torres has the latest.
Doctors at this San Diego hospital breathing a sigh of relief. Just a few weeks ago, they needed tents to handle the overflow of flu patients. Now, those tents are gone.
We're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, so we're still seeing some sick patients, but the numbers are really dropping, which is good news.
Today, the CDC reports that doctor visits and hospitalizations for flu are down, a signal that the worst is over.
That's good, but we know that there is still a lot of influenza to come, and so we are likely to see influenza continue to circulate until mid-April.
Doctors are now seeing more cases of type B influenza, which can severely affect children. Many of the 97 children who died so far this season were sick with type B flu. One of those tragedies, 18-year-old Hunter Connor from Southern California, who died just 6 days after developing the flu.
I never want this to happen to anybody else.
Hunter never got the vaccine, which doctors say is still the best way to protect yourself.
And Lester, there's always concern about the vaccine, but the CDC told me today they're working on a flu shot for next year. They think it'll be more effective, especially against that H3N2 strain.
Well, you know, I've been out for the last 3 days with the flu. I had the shot. Doctor said because I had the shot, it wouldn't last long. He was right.
You're the example of that.
Not 100%, but close.
I'm glad you're getting better.
Doc, thanks very much. It has only gotten worse in Syria as the Assad regime carried out a 6-day of airstrikes on rebel-held suburbs near Damascus. Dozens more were killed today. The death toll now put at close to 500, many of them children. Our chief foreign correspondent, Richard Engel, now with the latest.
Syrian President Bashar al-Assad and his allies intensified their all-out assault on the rebel-controlled Damascus suburb of Ghouta today. raining bombs and artillery on homes, clinics, and children. Assad's offensive is backed with force and political cover by Russia and Iran. Today, President Trump condemned all of them.
I will say what Russia and what Iran and what Syria have done recently is a humanitarian disgrace.
That's what 10-year-old Noor and her sister have been trying to tell the world.
Save the children.
Earlier this week, we showed her desperate pleas. Today, she said, help didn't come.
War plans destroy our building and our neighborhood.
The UN Security Council has so far failed to agree on a ceasefire. Without one activist say, this will be yet another massacre in Syria. Richard Engel, NBC News.
And President Trump hinted at the possibility of military action against North Korea today. He announced tough new sanctions aimed at stopping the smuggling of oil and coal into North Korea. When asked what the U.S. will do if North Korea fails to rein in its nuclear program, the president said if the sanctions don't work, we'll have to go to phase two, which he said could be, quote, a very rough thing. A former Miami Dolphins player who made headlines when he accused teammates of bullying him is now being questioned by police in connection with a threatening social media post, which led a California high school to close out of precaution. Here's NBC's Ron Mott.
Los Angeles police tell NBC News former NFL player Jonathan Martin, who accused teammates on the Miami Dolphins of bullying him 5 years ago, is being questioned after this post appeared on his verified Instagram account. The picture shows what appears to be a shotgun and numerous shells with the message, when you're a bully victim and a coward, your options are suicide or revenge. The posting lists four users, including two of Martin's ex-teammates, Richie Incognito and Mike Pouncey, whom he accused of mistreating him. It also mentions Martin's former high school in Southern California, Harvard Westlake, which closed today as a result. During the 2013 NFL season, Martin, who has publicly admitted to dealing with depression and trying to kill himself multiple times, walked away from the Dolphins.
I had to remove myself from the situation for my own health.
An NFL investigation was launched, which concluded three of Martin's teammates, including the two mentioned in the Instagram post, instigated repeated incidents of harassment against Martin and another player. Today, LAPD stepped up patrols around the school while Martin is in a medical facility seeking treatment. Ron Mott, NBC News.
We're back in a moment with this year's top cars, according to the annual list from Consumer Reports. A lot of folks in the middle of the country are in for more rough weather this weekend. Severe flooding led to states of emergency in parts of Indiana, Ohio, Michigan, and Kentucky. Almost 38 million people are under flood watches from Texas to Pennsylvania. Up to 3 inches of rain is expected through Sunday in areas already drenched by as much as 5 inches this week. Some areas could even see tornadoes. Some dramatic scenes this week of Kilauea volcano in Hawaii. A number of lava flows happening at the same time. The stark images seen from a helicopter flying over the volcano. Observers reported seeing more lava activity on the volcano than they've seen in quite some time. Kilauea almost never failing to provide a spectacular show. Is your family in the market for a new vehicle? Consumer Reports has ranked its top picks for 2018. They include best midsize car, the Toyota Camry, best full-size pickup, the Ford F-150, best midsize SUV, the Toyota Highlander, best minivan, the Toyota Sienna, and the Chevy Bolt is the very first pick in a new category, Best Compact Green Car. A reminder that full coverage of the Olympics starts right here at 8 Eastern. That is nightly news for this Friday night. I'm Lester Holt, and for all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching, and good night.